Well, all this week we've been talking about science on the program and hearing from a different scientist in a different field each day. Today, chemistry. Lyndon Archer is director of chemical and biomolecular engineering at Cornell University and joins us. And Professor Archer, you research polymers and other materials that go into batteries. How does that impact people in their daily lives?
Well, so to understand that, one has to think about what a battery actually is. So a battery, one can think of as a miniature power plant that basically uses chemical energy stored up in materials to convert it into electricity. And many batteries in commercial use today can do that reversibly, and so they're termed rechargeable. It turns out that every battery one works with is comprised of these little units called cells, and the cells are made up of an anode, a negative electrode, a cathode, a positive electrode, and an electrolyte. To design batteries that outperform the ones we use today, for example, batteries that are non-flammable, can deliver more energy, requires innovative design of the materials in the cathode, anode, and electrolyte, and that's what we do.
So you're trying to figure out how to build the best battery possible.
Exactly.
And what are the main obstacles right now to figuring that out?
Well, it turns out they are multifold. I think a typical battery has to perform a whole variety of functions, and it has to do those over an extended period of time, right? So for a typical electric vehicle, for example, one wants a battery that can charge and discharge something of order several thousand times. And if you think about that, it means that the chemistry that's going on in the closed environment of the cell has to be completely reversible over many, many years. And so designing materials that permits that reversibility requires a combination of insight from theoretical modeling, which we do, and also experiments to investigate new materials with new designs that can actually outperform materials in current use.
And in the course of your daily work, are you sitting there with different chemicals and different beakers and things like that, mixing them all together, trying to figure this out?
Well, it turns out that things are a little more advanced than that. So my group...
It's not just like it was in my high school chemistry class?
It's a little bit different. And in fact, in some ways, the difference underscores the difference perhaps between a chemical engineer and how a chemical engineer sees the world and a chemist. So in a short way, a chemical engineer basically does on a very large scale what a chemist does on a small scale. And so when one thinks through the material set that would make a better batteries, part of the chemical engineering mindset is to also think, is it scalable? And so the process by which we converge on material systems that are attractive is somewhat more sophisticated. So I'll give you a few examples of the things we care about. So most persons listening to your show will be familiar with the lithium-ion battery.
Yeah.
This has been the workhorse in cellular phones, now in automobiles, and people predict very soon in advanced robotics. What most persons don't know is that despite their complaints about these batteries, they're actually terrific little devices that operate often close to 90% of the theoretical performance limits set by the chemistry. And so to make a battery that's better than the ones we have today, it requires one to deviate from the current material set to design new materials. So you might have heard and your listeners might have seen dramatic TV footage of batteries catching fire. We want to stop that. We're also interested in batteries that go beyond the lithium battery, right? So lithium has a natural abundance that's of order 0.001% in the Earth's crust. In contrast, sodium has an abundance that's like 2%, a thousandfold higher. And aluminum, something of order 8%, right? So 4,000-fold higher. And we've been asking the question, you know, why are we limited to lithium? Can one envisage a battery format where we utilize things that are present in large amounts and all over the Earth? And so these practical needs drive the need for advanced materials technologies, and obviously that's where my group excels.
Why did you get into this field in the first place? You started out in Guyana.
Correct, yeah. So I grew up in Guyana, which is in South America, a very tiny country. I grew up very close to the mining sector. So in that country, the mining of bauxite, the mineral used for making aluminum, was a pretty important industry. So I grew up thinking that that's what I wanted to do. Went to USC, studied chemical engineering, and minored in polymer science. And the current state is basically a function of the excitement, the enjoyment I had in learning something completely new, chemical engineering. And so in some ways, it's been somewhat of a linear trajectory, even if, you know, one looks at the beginning state and the end state, and it looks quite unlikely.
That's Lyndon Archer, Director of Chemical and Biomolecular Engineering at Cornell University. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a pleasure speaking with you.